The second part of my sharing after Easter. So last week, we learned about how Jesus responded to Mary Magdalene, about how God lovingly cared for those who grieve and suffer losses. Today I'll share about the disciples' response to Jesus' resurrection. So let us pray, bow our head. Lord, please use me to share your word of truth and love to touch many lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now, please turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 14. So Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 14, the very end of chapter, book of Mark. So verse 9, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him, while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. So, I thought about the resurrection a bit more, and I asked myself, why was it so difficult for the disciples to believe Jesus' resurrection did happen? Obviously, the resurrection is a miracle, and during Jesus' time, it didn't happen every day, and I guess these days it doesn't really happen every day, at least not in front of us, that we see in our daily lives. And you might remember a few weeks ago, P. Kenny asked if anyone at EMP knows another person who has been resurrected. And he didn't see anyone raise a hand. But this past Sunday, Tyler told this story about a baby girl fell from a balcony to a stack of bricks onto the ground and died instantly. But due to the fear of the Lord, a guy came to pray for her and she became alive again. So that was a miracle. That was resurrection, right? Do you believe that? I mean, did you really believe that when you first heard of it, that it happened? How about thinking about how would someone who really believe would behave when he first heard about resurrections? We can think about this at the back of our mind, but let's look back at disciple now. The disciple didn't really believe Jesus' resurrection. Maybe the first time they were told was because a woman said it. Nothing against women, but like a woman at those times was someone who had a lesser social status. So maybe that was a reason. What about in verse 12? After Jesus appeared to two people on the road to Emmaus, and they told the 11th, this time, there were two witnesses, and at least one of them was a man. Still, they didn't believe. I mean, didn't the disciples, wasn't disciples there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11? I mean, they were right. Jesus delayed going to see Lazarus for a couple of days after he heard he was ill and he died. So the disciples at least witnessed one resurrection with Jesus, and it was by Jesus' power he was raised from the dead. So why was it difficult to believe that Jesus' resurrection, even though that they witnessed resurrection by the power of Jesus before? I thought about it, and of course there are a number of good reasons or reasonable excuses, and Jesus talked about hardness of heart and faith and doubts and all that. But I would suggest a couple of key differences between Lazarus' resurrection and Jesus' resurrection that might have contributed to their doubts. Okay, the first one would be in Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus was there to command the dead Lazarus to rise. So the disciple saw that there was physically a person with authority and power to raise someone from the dead. But at Jesus' resurrection, they didn't see anyone powerful to raise Jesus from the dead. But actually, I would say there was. Well, God was there, so someone was there. God was there. God is omnipresent. Disciples were probably only focused on the physical presence instead of the spiritual reality and the presence and the power of God. And also, the other thing I would suggest is disciples did not comprehend the power of the Word of God can transcend time. What I mean by that is, back in Matthew 16:21, Jesus said, "He himself must be killed and on the third day raised to life." So Jesus has said it. And Jesus' spoken word has power. We learned that back in Matthew, again also, Matthew 8:13, that the centurion's servant was healed simply because Jesus said so. So the power of his word transcends space. And here, Jesus' resurrections also tell us that the power of God's words transcend time as well. So if we look back at Mark's passage, sorry, Mark 16:9-14, we noted that the emphasis in this passage is about the unbelief of the disciples. The persistent and stubborn unbelief was prevalent amongst the disciples after the resurrection. And these are the closest people to Jesus for most of his 3 years ministry. But it's not just about not believing Jesus' resurrection. On verse 14, it talks about Jesus reproached them for their unbelief. Because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. So did not believe the testimony about Jesus from their fellow brothers and sisters who followed Jesus. I would take a short pause here. I think all of us have a reluctance to believe things, so we often ask for evidence, but when we get some evidence, perhaps indirect evidence, maybe the empty tomb or an eyewitness account, we're still quite skeptical. And it might not be simple to accept this amazing fact that the one they saw crucified became living and among them again. Important thing I would suggest we notice here is Jesus expected the disciples to believe the reports of the eyewitness who saw him. They were trustworthy fellow brothers and sisters, and they simply reported their experience, and Jesus reproved them in verse 14, because they refused to believe those who had seen him. So what Jesus was effectively saying, why did you doubt the testimony? you actually also wrong them by your unbelief. They are honest and truthful people, and they have told you the truth. You believe eyewitness accounts on other matters. Why do you not believe them this time? And also, this time, Jesus appeared to many of them. Mary Magdalene and other women, that's Matthew 28. Cleopas and another, that's Luke 24. And also appeared to Peter in Luke 24. It was not merely one person who might have mistaken, but a number of people saw Jesus and spoke with him and told the story. So these disciples knew Jesus intimately and yet had so strong an unbelief. So we shouldn't be surprised there will be times the truth of God's word can be clouded by the doubts in our hearts, in our own hearts. And similarly, we also shouldn't expect in other believers to be consistently strong in faith, even if they have a close relationship with God. There will be time we should extend God's abundant grace to them, such as Jesus to Mary Magdalene when she was suffering from deep grieving. There shall be time we should reproach our fellow brothers with love and truth, as Jesus did, for their unbelief and hardness of heart. In any case, we ought to look inwardly first, to examine ourselves, our hearts, our own hearts, and be humble and gentle and loving towards others. Is it still hard for people to believe Jesus' resurrection was true? Well, Jesus is gracious. He gave so many testimonies of his resurrection through various eyewitness accounts, besides the empty tomb and the linen cloth. I wonder, would it be helpful if you personally have met someone who was resurrected? Would that help to your belief about resurrection? Well, I think we can certainly ask for it so that we, or you know God even better, not out of like a testing God or anything, but that you would know God better. And I would also ask you to think about, if you believe God can heal your cough or cold, like last week or even yesterday, is it so much more of a stretch to believe he can heal maybe just a few millions or billions more cells in your body by his power to bring a dead person back to life? If you were at SP a few years ago, someone who has been resurrected did visit here. Like this baby girl Tyler was talking about on Sunday. Does anyone know who I'm talking about? I think some of you must be here. Yeah, well, I'm thinking of our Darlene Cunningham. Remember, Lauren Cunningham was sharing a testimony about his traffic accident that broke Darlene's skull and caused a big hole in her head. And there was so much bleeding. And then he was crying, holding her head in his arm. He saw the light went out of her. And afterwards, Lauren really submitted everything to God. And after that, God brought her back to life. She was resurrected. You can listen to the podcast, or actually, it was also written in one of the YWAM book called Was It Really You, God? So many of you have met someone who is alive and was resurrected from the dead in the 21st century beside Jesus. Okay. Okay. May I ask Andrew to come to play some music? Let us close our eyes and bow our heads and pray. I think, first of all, when I think about resurrections and unbelief, the first things I came to my mind was, I'm sorry, God. I confess I have committed the sin of unbelief. Probably so many times. Many times more than I know. I've doubted you. And so many times I didn't realize I have committed it. There must be many times, Lord God, you spoke to me, but because of my unbelief, I didn't think it was from you, or that I had so little faith about you doing it rather than me doing it. I just disregarded it and missed the fullness of your revelation and a greater intimacy with you. So I repent of my unbelief. My unbelief about you, about the testimonies of my brothers and sisters. But Lord, I want to believe. Please help my unbelief. I pray in your precious Son's name.
To be a blessing.
let us spend a couple more minutes not just repenting about unbelief, but really open our hearts so that God can pour out more of Himself to us so that we receive. Let's turn to the community prayers. We just heard about God does and can resurrect people. Yes, we can pray for all our brothers and sisters come here that God will take care of their cancer and make them well, complete and whole restoration. Yeah, God is such a good God. He doesn't simply just want to heal us of our physical needs, but always want to heal us in our spiritual needs as well. So pray for restoration and salvation, please. We also want to pray for healings of other infirmities in the community. I know the list is quite long there. Just pick the ones that's standing out to you. Yes, and you also want to pray for those seeking jobs, and it's good to see one or two names got taken off. Praise God. Yes, please continue to contend for our brothers and sisters, for God's provision. Today, our focus is mission focus. Pray for Hong Kong. Pray for Hong Kong government to have wise counsel and good leadership. pray for the narrowing of wealth gap, pray for the revival of churches in Hong Kong, pray for Holy Spirit to come to, bring revival to this place. Pray for our partners, Sports Service International, that they are seeking more workers to join the team, particularly female sportsmen. Pray for Shanti too, that they will have more regular volunteers to support the ministry in teaching the kids during the weekdays, Cantonese, English, all sorts of things. Yeah, pray for Master Beauty. Actually, Master Beauty, they are looking for a new office because the location, the office is lease is expiring, and they need a much bigger place. Just, God's given their heart to expand the team, and just heard so many faithful God's faithfulness through their ministry. So yes, let's pray for that, because by the end of this month, they need to move out. Yeah, also pray for sons and daughters, for Kelly to receive God's directions and prompting and the resource to come through. Pray for CSW too, that I know that they wanted to do quite a field trip this year, but some of them has not come through yet. So pray for the right people to be connected to them. And pray for Hong Kong and Korean churches too, and the students in Hong Kong. Let us cover our staff. PSAM is still away in Europe. And Pine, actually today is Pine's birthday. And this year is a special year for him, for being a father and finishing his seminary education soon as well. Also cover Pastor Samat, is traveling and back from Indonesia, I think, today. Also pray for all the pastors and staff here to be faithful to our calling and to serve with a worshipful heart, cheerful, joyful heart always. Also ask you to cover the worship and worship team and the sound and AV team. Pray for a heart of worship and excellence in all that they do. Let them also lift up their hospitality ministry, particularly welcoming barista, that they have this meet and greet initiative starting later this month. So yes, pray for them to have the right people to come and serve, meet and greet, and be the face and smiles and the voice of SP to connect them to this community. This week is the last week of the break of House Church. House Church will start next week. Please cover the leaders and to be refreshed. and also the members who continue to stay connected, loving one another, that they will just continue to meet and supporting one another with or without house church meeting or not. Father God, we're so grateful for you. Despite our unbelief, and we miss so many things, you want us to believe because through believing, we can come to know you more, know of your character, know of your love for each and every single one of us, as well as others around us. So Lord God, we do want to believe. Help us with our unbelief, Lord. Lord, so I just ask you to cover everyone as they go to work or the next activity they go to, that you will be with them and your voice will be so clear, so strong in their heart and their lives that there won't be any unbelief because they know that it's coming from you. Yeah, I just pray for a greater intimacy with you, Lord God, for every single one of the brothers and sisters who's here listening. In Jesus' name now we pray. So please remember that today there's no lunchtime prayer. Maybe just pray at your office or at your own space. Thank you. Have a great day.